There's been big fish kills on the east coast of Tasmania. Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of leather jackets washed up around the Bay of Fires. John McGivern has fished in the area for decades. He's also president of the Tasmanian Game Fishing Association. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning.
I don't imagine you catch leather jacket terribly often down there.
Oh, look, we catch them, but not the type that were washed up.
Okay.
Ours are a different colour, much larger.
Which species have washed up?
Well, I believe they're called a threadfin leather jacket, as one I wasn't familiar with until this happened, of course, but it's a smaller variety, not very much colour, and, a schooling leather jacket, I believe, which I've never seen before.
Okay. When did you first hear of or see the fish kill?
It would have been about the 13th, 14th of May, about the middle of May. Got a call to say they were washed up on the beach on the Bay of Fires, which is the icon beach on the east coast of Tassie. And, the estimates were tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. I mean, they were washed up quite thick. You could, like, feet wide and you could walk on them. They're on top of each other. And I believe they were washed up, and I know they were washed up on some of the smaller beaches further down the coast. So the estimate could be hundreds of thousands. I mean, it's very hard to know unless someone did an estimate. Yeah.
No one's gone down to count them all one by one.
I don't know anyone's bothered to try and do an estimate, yeah.
What was the smell like?
Oh, it was okay because they washed up alive. And when they came on the beach, the ones that we were familiar with all came up and they were flapping and alive. And then they died on the beach. And then with the next high tide, most were washed back into the water.
Did it attract the birds?
Not really. Yeah, there were a few around, but not a great mess. No.
So I imagine you see the odd large-scale fish kill like this, but have you seen one like this before?
No, look, I've been around here a long time. I've been game fishing for 45 years, and I've been around the coast here since I was born, and that's 70 years ago. I've seen the odd thing, you know, fish washed up on a riverbank or something like that, but in our part of the world, no, I haven't seen. I've seen, like, fish floating at sea occasionally, like a few dozen. I've seen button birds at sea floating dead, but I've never seen anything like this, no.
Mm. Do you collect any of them?
I've got a couple here, yeah.
What are you going to do with them?
Oh, I just put them away for just reference and to show people as curiosity. This is what they look like because they're quite different to what we normally see.
Mm.
They're, as I said, they're silvery white and they're quite small. It's like 2 to 4 inches on average. They're not very big, the ones that I've seen.
So is there a local theory as to what's happened?
Well, there are all sorts of theories, and they're quite wild, some of them, which were not correct. The first theory was that someone had caught them in a trawler and dumped them overside. Now, that wasn't possible, not likely. There were no trawlers in the area, and they were too small anyway. They would have passed through the net, so that people tend to grab onto these things. They've got no substance whatsoever. But I believe the official position that the people that may know put forward was that they died because of the water temperature change. That these fish, which are northern species of some sort, can't stand a change in water temperature. And our temperature at the time was probably around about 17 degrees or so. And there were periods of time when it drops to 15. I mean, it gets down to about 13 in the winter. But the theory is that a change in the water temperature caused the problem. But of course, they came ashore alive, so that was a bit odd. So whether that drove them ashore or what happened, I don't know. But that's the theory. But the interesting thing is that because of my association with game fishing, we were catching large bluefin and other fish down at Eagle Hawk Neck, which is further down the southeastern coast of Tassie, where the water average was about 13 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And the large fish were full of these leather jackets, like there were broadbill swordfish that were full of them. Big tuna over 100 kilos that had masses of these leather jackets inside them.
What, were you cutting them open to have a look, were you?
Well, game fishermen normally do with the fish they keep. We tag and release most of our fish. But when they keep fish, they always check the contents inside because it gives you a good guide as to what sort of lures you should be using and what you should be using to catch them. And on one particular case, because my son caught it, it was a 120-kilogram bluefin and it was packed and had kilograms of these small leather jackets.
The leather jackets.
This is just before this happened, probably a week, 2 weeks before this actually happened. But they were not washing ashore down south, but they came ashore further up north, which is strange.
So you're scratching your heads?
Oh. Yeah, well, you know, if it was the change in water temperature that did it, I can maybe understand that. If it's simply cold water, well, I don't believe that because they were in much colder water down south and surviving. But it may have been the change to water temperature that caused the problem.
Okay, so a few questions to be asked here. John McGivern's with me from the Tasmanian Game Fishing Association, been fishing around Binelong Bay on the east coast of Tassie for quite some time. We're discussing the fact that so many, maybe hundreds of thousands of leather jacket washed up, leather jackets washed up recently on the East Coast. Now, Neville Barrett knows a thing or two about this. He's been studying fish ecology for more than 20 years and works at the Marine Biodiversity Hub. That's within the University of Tasmania. Hi, Neville.
Hi, Cameron.
How exceptional was the Binelong Bay fish kill?
For Tasmania, it was certainly very exceptional. I think, as John was saying, you know, we extremely rarely see, you know, large numbers of fish washed up dead on the beaches in Tassie. It does happen occasionally, and for exactly the same sort of reason that it happened this time when it does happen, and that is that, you know, towards Easter and afterwards, the warm, you know, we do get quite warm waters off our coast, up to 18, 19 degrees even from the East Australian Current. And as kind of winter onsets, you get the first few storms pushing much more cold sub-Antarctic water up the east coast of Tassie, and where it sort of meets that nice warm water, a lot of the species that are hanging out in that warm water don't like it very much and do end up being washed ashore. So we get some starry toadfish and other species tends to wash up, but, you know, usually in the hundreds, certainly not in the tens of thousands that has happened this time with this particular species.
But the theory that it is all due to a change or a sudden change in water temperature, that makes sense to you, does it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what seems to get them every time when it does happen. Now, this year is just quite different. This particular species doesn't normally move this far south. It has been recorded in Tasmania before, but certainly not in these numbers and with this kind of mortality. It's almost a tropical species, really. It extends right up into Papua New Guinea, so it sort of gives you some indication of the range of the thing normally. And this is sort of an oceanic leather jacket. It lives out there, you know, hundreds of kilometres off the coast in the large currents, and occasionally just gets trapped in when the current, you know, a bit like Nemo, really, the current pushes strongly down the east coast and it gets caught up in it. And if it's lucky to be further north, then it's fine. But if it's unfortunate to be right at the southern edge of it and a cold front comes through, then they're in trouble. And I think this year it's been particularly, we've had a very unusual year. We've had a sort of like a jellyfish type organism called the salps. And they're little jelly-like organisms and they live in the sea. And this year off eastern Tasmania, the sea's just, you could almost walk on it in places. There's been so many salps around. And that's the primary food for these particular types of leather jackets. They love it. So we've had quite a coincidence, really, of large amounts of the perfect food for this particular species and quite a degree of warm water off our coast to bring them down. So I guess their numbers have boomed partly because of that, and then a cold front that came through just managed to kill them off, really.
So you don't read anything into this? You don't think it's an indicator of something bigger happening, whether that's ocean temperatures or ocean currents? It's just a one-off, is it?
I don't know that it's a one-off. This happens quite regularly. This particular species does wash up in large numbers at times in New South Wales and even in Queensland. The unusual thing is it's extended its reach down into Tasmanian waters, but again, that's likely to be more common coming into the future. So this is all part of, I guess, a change in climate that we've seen the waters off eastern Tasmania warm 1.5 to 2 degrees over the last 20 to 30 years. And the predictions are, in the latest modelling that I've seen, that's going to happen by another degree or so over the next 30 or 40 years. So, you know, as this warming continues, these warm water species will continue to push further and further south. But one thing that's almost guaranteed is that from time to time, whatever warming happens, that warm water is occasionally going to hit some very cold water when we do get southerly fronts, because they will always push really cold water up our coast. And when that happens, we get all sorts of things washing ashore.
Johnny,
some years we get sea snakes washing ashore.
Sorry, say again? What washes ashore?
Oh, some years, Easter's a notorious time for these things to happen. So, you get the first blast of winter, really, and we end up with sea snakes washing ashore that have been carried south in these currents as well, and a whole range of other species, even turtles washing up, you know, completely exhausted.
John, are you hearing stories from the people in the fishing industry or recreational fishers of catching stranger, unusual things?
Yes, absolutely. Just listening to what was said then, in the last 2 years, and particularly this year, we've had water temperatures off the east coast of Tassie up to 22 degrees, which is getting well up there. It's currently down about 16 in the north. As I said, it's down in the Eagle of Neck area. It's down to 13 or 14 or 15. But for a few years, we've never seen 22-degree water, but in the last 2 years, we've caught marimar or dolphin fish, quite a lot of them, which are absolutely uncommon to our area. I mean, they're a tropical fish. We've had a run of striped marlin. So we're getting fish now that we've never had before, and particularly the marimar were quite surprising. And this season gone, we've got quite a few, and they're in quite large quantities. So it obviously says that the water temperatures are much, much higher, and we know that because we monitor it very closely with our fishing.
Mm.
And when I was mentioning earlier about the Eaglock Neck area where the leather jackets were in the fish, their temperatures wouldn't have changed all that much. They're fairly constant because they've got the Southern Ocean, and we seem to get the temperature changes up north where theirs goes gradually up and then gradually down in the lower part of the state. So just listening to what was said, if it's a temperature change that causes the problem, well, I could understand that in the northern part of Tassie.
But what, not so much around the Eagle Hawk
now? No, it's more, I mean, we get very low temperatures down there, but it's gradual.
Neville, what's the explanation for this species being around the Eagle Hawk Neck area, the colder area?
I don't know, but they were full of the game fish. The larger game fish were full of them, actually packed with them. As I said, I've seen the one my son caught, and that was 120k bluefin, and that had kilos of these things in it. And a friend of mine recently caught a couple of broadbill swordfish. I think they've always been around here, but he targeted them, he found them, but they were full of these things as well in fairly deep water.
Neville, any thoughts?
Well, certainly, you know, this particular species is in the East Australian Current, and its influence varies up and down our Tasmanian East coast. Some years it's just licking the very far northeast. Other years it's pushing very strongly right down, you know, certainly around February, right down past southern Tasmania. So anything that's in that current, like this particular species, will be found in it throughout that whole range. It's just that the strength, you know, as John was saying, the strength of the influence of that current is much more so up in northeast Tasmania, where waters are, you know, much warmer, really, offshore than they are further south. And so that's where the bulk of particular species like this are likely to be. But there's no doubt that they can be, you know, certainly distributed all the way down off southern Tasmania. And again, that huge bloom of salps that we had earlier in kind of January, February, has produced a you know, one-off absolute feeding bonanza for species like this. So I'm not at all surprised that the numbers are right up.
That they're there. Is it normally, or how common is it that it's just the one species that washes ashore when it's a large-scale fish kill like this?
I'm surprised that there's just the leather jackets. I'm not surprised that they totally dominate numerically. You know, that they are, leather jackets are very fast growing. Most of these animals are probably less than 1 year old, so they're very quick growing, and so they can take off in huge numbers when conditions are right, as has occurred this year when there's been a huge amount of food around for them. It might not have happened last year because they might not have found anywhere near that much food. But there are a number of other species, and again, I think the starry toadfish is one of those ones that does tend to wash ashore in this region, but not in anywhere near as many numbers.
John said they washed ashore, they washed up alive. Is that what normally happens?
That's what normally happens, and I think, as I was saying before, we even often see sea snakes up in the far northeast washing up alive. They're not very enthusiastic. They're certainly cold and very lethargic, but they are there. So and that's just basically that's what's going on. It's a metabolic thing. It's a bit like, you know, us stepping out of a car on top of a mountain in the snow. We might still be alive after a few hours, but we're not in very good condition.
Yeah, we're not moving too quickly. Yeah, not our natural habitat.
Exactly.
All right, interesting stuff. We've got as I said earlier, there's a picture of the leather jackets all washed up on our Twitter feed at @RNBushTelly. We'll make sure there's a picture up on our website this afternoon as well. Neville, thanks for joining us today. Interesting to get your insights.
No worries, it's been a pleasure.
Neville Barrett's from the Marine Biodiversity Hub at the University of Tasmania, been a fish ecologist for 20 years. And John McGivern, good luck with the rest of your fishing. It's been nice chatting with you.
Oh, just a couple of comments. At one of the lower beaches, I just heard what Neville said, there were quite a few small flathead came up with them, and they're only about three inches long, not only in the hundreds, not in the thousands, but they were washed up on one of the beaches south of St Helens. I've actually seen those, quite small. And there was one broadbill swordfish washed up with the majority of the fish on the Binnelong Bay of Fires beach. Now, being a game fisherman, I'd be really curious to know how that came ashore, because essentially they bought a fish. I don't think it was investigated, but I would love to know whether it died of starvation or died by eating too many of these things or just simply fell off the perch. But it was about a 60 kilo fish, about 2 metres long, and it was a one-off. Most unusual to see a broadbill swordfish on our beaches.
All right, well, that's a question for us. I guess we'll delve into another day. All the best, John. Thanks a lot. John McGivern from the Tasmanian Game Fishing Association.